Let's turn in our Bibles to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 in our Bibles. Acts chapter 1 in our Bibles. Thank you all for that warm welcome. Thank you to thank you to 50-5 for the bag. I love football, not football. Okay. They have the wrong balloon, but that's probably all they had over in the. In the library and the over there. So, but I love football. How many of you love football? Huh? Yeah. Good. Yeah. How many of you are Big Ten fans? Big Ten, Ohio State, yeah. Michigan. We have any Michiganders here? Michigan State, Wisconsin. Man, there's some big games going on. I do love football. Don't distract me right now, okay? Don't distract me right now. This isn't ESPN. I'm not here to give commentary on the weekend. Though I do think that Ohio State will come out with that victory on Saturday over Indiana. And I think they'll get the W the last week of the season as well over Michigan. So that's it. Acts chapter 1. Says here, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received them out of their sight. And while they looked up steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. I want to call your attention to the very first verse and to the latter portion of that verse. It says, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. I want to preach a sermon today titled, A Man of Action. A Man of Action. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we love you and we thank you so much for allowing us to gather here during this chapel hour. Lord, I pray that you would use this message today to provoke some, even if it's just one, to go out and do something big for you, Lord, in the ministry. I pray that they would use their time here at Howes Anderson wisely these next couple of years, Lord. They have an opportunity to make an influence in people's lives on a weekly basis. And I pray that you would help them, Lord, to focus and to get their minds right and to have a mind to work. Father, I pray that you would just be with me as I share your words, share the message and the truth that you gave to me. Father, I know that I'm not worthy, Lord, to stand behind this pulpit where so many faithful men have stood in the past. But I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity. And I ask that you would just use the next moments to be a blessing to those that are here in attendance. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, here in this passage, it says that Jesus began both to do and to teach. That one phrase tells me a lot about our Lord and Savior, is that our Lord Jesus Christ was a man of action. He was not one to sit around and wait for life to happen. He did not sit around and on the bench and wait till someone asked him to do something. He was a man that took it upon himself to make a difference in people's lives. You know, we often come across people that speak in theory and not from practice. You know, from time to time, you know, you're gathering around the table over at the dining hall and people want to begin to talk about how to build a bus route, you know, what to do, how to do this and how to do that. You know, I come across a lot of those individuals during my time at Hiles Anderson. You know, they're the guys that think they know everything. They think they know everything about the ministry. They think they know everything they think they have the answers to all of life's questions. But in reality, they're not out there doing it. You know, they talk a big game, but their actions speak louder than what their words are. You know, I've come across people that used to say, oh, you got to do this to build a bus route. You got to do this to, you know, recruit workers. And oftentimes the people that talk the most about things like that are the ones that can't even wake up Saturday morning and get to a bus meeting. They talk a lot. They talk a lot, but they don't put into action what they're trying to teach people. See, the Lord Jesus was opposite. He didn't just teach, he did. He led by example. He took initiative. He didn't sit around and wait. He was out in front leading by example. By the way, bus captains, being a bus captain is more than just giving orders. It takes you being involved. It takes me being out on my bus route, knocking doors and making visits and giving out tracts and passing out flyers, because your people are watching and people will find what you're saying more influential if they actually see you doing something other than sitting around. You know, there's a great example of this in the Old Testament. Let's go ahead and turn to Numbers real quick. Numbers chapter 13. Here we have a man that is often preached about. His name is Caleb. And in verse number 26, it says this, Numbers chapter 13, verse 26. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whether thou sendest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Verse number 30 says this, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. I love what Caleb said there. He said, instead of sitting around and talking about what we can't do, why don't we trust what God has already commanded us to do, and let's get out and do it. You know, we have to understand that this type of confidence doesn't come from us within. It comes from the command from above. And when we get out and begin to implement and work towards fulfilling that command, we will have that fighting spirit like Caleb did. We ourselves will become men of action. Instead of being scared and hiding out in your dorm room on Saturday, you'll be out on your bus route reaching people, spreading the gospel, bringing visitors, getting them baptized, discipling them. It all comes from that confidence from acting out the command that we are given. You know, today I submit to you three specific actions we should implement in our ministries to have an impact for Christ. Number one, Jesus was a man of action, and we're looking back at Christ and what he did. Jesus was a man of action, but he was a man of proper action. It wasn't just that he went out there and winged it. You know, he understood that there was actions that needed to be done, but it was proper action. And that mindset came from being focused on his mission. In Luke chapter 2, verse 49, he, in response to his earthly parents, looking at them, and he said, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? That is a statement of an individual that was focused on the task at hand. You know, when it came time for his public ministry to start, he didn't scratch his head wondering what to do. He didn't say, should I stay in carpentry or should I go into the ministry? You know, the answer was very clear to him. He said, hey, God gave me a task to do and I need to get out there and do it. You know, many of us struggle with whether we should go in the ministry or make money. See, many of you are here, and some of you, you came to college and you never had a job before in your life, and the first job you had was the one you got freshman year, and maybe it wasn't the best job. I remember the first job I got here at Hiles Anderson was over at, it was called AmeriCall. I think it's Teleperformance now. It's a call center over there in Hobart. And I was making bank there. Like, if I was making big bucks. Brother Mitchell, when I started working there, I was making a whopping $7.50. Big bucks. You know, I went out, I got myself all new suits, I brought new ties. No, I didn't do that. Okay. But that was the first job I had. The longer I stayed, you know, the jobs got better, the pay got a little bit better. The most I think I made at college was about $16. You know, that was about, 10 years ago now. But many of you, man, you got jobs. You're not making $7 an hour. You're not making $10 an hour. You're making $25. Some of you making $30 an hour, you know, and I'll be honest with you, you know, in the 13 years that I've been here, I've seen a lot of men who are on fire their freshman year, but sophomore, junior year comes and they start to make a little bit of money, and the fire is focused more on money than the ministry. You know, and what a shame it is that we lose focus on what God called us to do here just because we start to make a little bit of money. How shameful of us. God didn't call you to Hiles Anderson to make money. God didn't call you into the ministry to make money. God called you into the ministry to make a difference in people's lives. And if you maintain that focus, if you understand God called me here to reach people, you will have proper action. Jesus was a man of proper action. He didn't struggle with whether or not he should go into the ministry. Not only did he have the right focus, he did the right things with the right attitude. The right things with the right attitude. Man, some of you here, some of us here, we have the right focus, but we have the wrong attitude. You see, you go out to your bus route and you want to win people to Christ, but you go out there and your captain tells you to do something, your division leader asks you to do something, and instead of witnessing to people on Saturday, you're just complaining about how your bus captain is bossy, how your division leader is pushing you so hard to go and knock doors and to bring people. You know, you're going out there and you're trying to do the right thing with the wrong attitude. You know, let's have the right mentality. You know, let's count it all joy when we go out to Chicago. Let's count it a blessing when we get to go and knock on doors. Let's do the right things with the right attitude. Not only that, let's do the right thing. Let's do the right things. You know, there's a set of rules here at Hiles Anderson that are meant to help you, not to hurt you. A lot of you look at the rule book as more of a what not to do instead of what is going to help me to do what God called me to do. You know, your purity is so important. Your purity is so important. You know, it'll be a shame if you were to lose focus on what your calling is and to go off and to do something that would disqualify you from the ministry. That would disqualify you that would disqualify or jeopardize your standing as a college student here. Make sure that you keep the right focus. Make sure that you do the right things. Jesus was a man of proper action. He had the right focus. He had the right attitude. He did the right things. He kept himself pure. And that's so important. I've seen so many men here come through the college and unfortunately begin to go in a different direction. And now, instead of being an influence in some ministry out in the United States or in this world, unfortunately, they're in a situation where they cannot serve in the capacity that they once desired because they didn't do the right things. Young people, can I encourage you, please, just do the right thing. Just do the right thing. You know, it hurts my heart whenever I hear of a young man or a young lady that's no longer in college because they just can't do the right thing. It's not that hard. You know, sin is going to it's going to ruin your life. And you have to make sure that you keep yourself pure. Be careful where you go. Be careful what you watch. Be careful what coworkers wherever you work. Be careful what coworkers you allow yourself to get close to. It doesn't take much to spoil the whole lump. The Bible says a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And you think that you're in control. You think you're the exception. You think you're the God of your life. But in reality, you're setting yourself up for failure. Keep yourselves pure. Keep yourselves pure. Young men, be very careful. Young men, y'all are grown. You're 18, 19, 20. Some of you 25, 28 maybe, you know. But you have to keep yourself pure. Man, don't do anything that would disqualify you from the ministry or jeopardize your standing as a college student. Jesus Christ was a man of action, but he was a man of proper action. Number two, he was a man of consistent action. Look at verse number two in Acts chapter one. Verse number two in Acts chapter one. It says, the former treats he have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to both do and teach. And verse number two, it says, until the day in which he was taken up. Man, Jesus Christ was committed. It didn't matter how long he had on earth. He just said, as long as I'm here, I'm going to do what I need to do until God calls me up or takes me up into heaven. You know, in John chapter 4, verse 34, he says, my meat is to do the will of the Father. You know, that word meat in the Greek is the word brahma, meaning that which is eaten. Food is our energy source. And Jesus was implying that his strength comes from fulfilling God's will. He was not going to allow something to take him away from carrying out his mission because God's will was his priority. He was committed. He was consistent. He did God's will up until the time God took him up into heaven. You know, I want to encourage you, do the right things on a daily basis. Do the right things on a daily basis. You know, it's so simple and it's so elementary, but the right thing on a daily basis includes Bible reading and prayer. You know, if you're not spending time in God's word, if you're not spending time in prayer, you're limiting yourself from truly making an impact on your bus route. And the more time you spend in Bible reading, you are adding to yourself what you need for the weekends. I remember being here at Hollis Anderson and my Bible doctrine's teacher's name was Brother Danny Mendez. He said, you fill yourself up Monday through Friday so you can go out and empty yourself on Saturday and Sunday. You have to make sure you're doing the right things on a daily basis. Don't be hit or miss. Don't show up one Saturday and miss the next. You know, don't serve on emotion. You know, if you're waiting for your life to be completely perfect, for you to really get busy in the ministry, you're going to keep waiting until the day you die. It's never going to be a perfect time to get involved in the ministry. Can I encourage you to think like this, okay? You're here now, so get busy. That's all I can encourage you to do. You are here now, so just get busy. Stop waiting for the circumstances of life to get better. Okay. Stop waiting for a certain dollar amount to be in your bank account. Stop waiting for you to get whatever it is that you want in your life in order. Gentlemen, some of you say, well, once I find a girlfriend, I'm going to get busy. Hey. You're going to keep looking for that girl because God wants you to get busy now. And when it's time, he'll bring the right one your way. I love my wife. I met her here at Howells Anderson. You know where I first noticed my wife? It was on Willow Court. And it wasn't her by herself. What caught my attention, Brother King, was that Vicky always had bus kids around her. Always. Wherever it was, she was always walking with about two or three people, two or three boys, two or three girls. And she always was out there, serving the Lord. And that caught my attention because there's a lot of young ladies that were out on Willow Court that weren't busy, that were just talking to their boyfriend, that was ignoring the bus kids as they came up to her, And what caught my attention was the fact that she just wanted to serve. And eventually, God brought us together. It's crazy. You know who introduced my wife and I? A bus kid. A bus kid. A bus kid introduced us. It was his name. Some of you may know him, J.C. Rodriguez. Brother J.C. He was a City Baptist student when I was here at Howells Anderson, and he's the type of bus kid you don't want to tell a secret to. He's the type of bus kid that if you told him something, someone else will find out. So I had mentioned I had asked JC. I didn't say, "Hey, I think she's pretty." All I said was, "Hey, what's her name?" He said, "Oh, that's Miss Vicky." And man, I regretted that, but I don't. Because it was one Sunday afternoon, right before a night service. Vicky was with her bus kids, and I was with JC, and we were walking. We were right there, right outside the main auditorium, and literally JC, Vicky was there, and he goes like this: "Hey, Brother David, can I? This is Miss Vicky." I'm like, "Oh man," he put me on the spot, I said, "Hey, yeah, I know who she is, JC. I know who she is, but we had a little conversation there, but that's really where it started, because of bus kid, because we were serving, because both of us had the mindset of working. Don't serve. Don't wait until the moment is right to start serving. Start serving now. Get busy now. Many of you, you're excited for Thanksgiving to come, and I'm excited for Thanksgiving to come too, okay? I love turkey. I love ham. I love stuffing. I love cornbread, but I'm excited for Thanksgiving to come. But I'm not looking so forward to that. I'm not looking so forward to that I lose sight of what I have to do this weekend. And a lot of you, you're excited to go home, and I'm excited for you too. If you have a chance to go home, go home. Go home and get that home-cooked meal that you've been waiting for. But don't forget, you have something to do this weekend. You have a job to do this weekend. I'm running out of time here, but there's an explorer that lived in the late 1800s, early 1900s. His name was Roald Amundsen. He was a Norwegian explorer, and he set out to be the first man to reach the South Pole. At that time, during the late 1800s, the early 1900s, there was a big push for people to reach the Arctic region of this world. And, I love men like that, pioneer men that have enough courage to go out into uncharted territory, but there is another man, by the name of Robert Scott. He was English. He was from Britain. And both men set out to on a race to reach the South Pole. One of them got there. Both of them got there, but one beat the other. And if you read the story a little bit, I can't go into too much detail, but both men started roughly about the same time. They had a time frame of about 3 to 4 months during the summer season of the Arctic. to reach their destination. Both men started about the same time. Both men had some funds. Both men had had equipment. Both men have set up, you know, different checkpoints where they can reload their supplies. Both men had everything almost identically the same. The difference wasn't in technology. The difference wasn't in funding. The difference was in consistency. You know, Roald Amundsen set out to reach the South Pole. And he said, whether the weather is favorable to us or not, every single day, we're going to get out there and we're going to move towards our goal. You know, Robert Scott had a little bit of a different mindset. He had probably a little bit of the better technology, you know, but his mindset was, we're going to travel as far as we can when the weather permits. You know, that mindset ended up in Roald Amundsen reaching the South Pole 5 weeks before Robert Scott. And it was just consistency. Every single day, whether the weather was favorable or it wasn't, they were out there and they would move on average about 20 miles per day. They were consistent. We need to be consistent. Some of you, you're going through trials right now. Some of you, it may be a physical trial. It may be a health issue that you have. Some of you, you're going through a financial trial. Some of you, you're going through an emotional trial. Okay? But whatever it is, whatever circumstance you find yourself in at this moment, just get out there and be consistent and do what God has called you to do. And if you're consistent in doing that, or if you're consistent, you'll see that you will have an impact in the ministry. Jesus was a man of proper action. He was a man of consistent action. Not only that, he was a man of compassionate action. In Jude 22, most of you know this by heart, but if not, just go ahead and turn there real quick. Jude 22, it says this. Jude 22, it says, and of some have compassion making a difference. Jesus was a man of proper action. He was a man of consistent action, but he was also a man of compassionate action. He loved people. He didn't just say he loved people. He actually showed his love to people. You know, in Luke 22, we see that Jesus took time to help someone that was unjustifiably wounded and hurt. He took the time to heal Malchus. And in Luke 22, I don't have time to go into that passage right now, but it was at the time where they were in the garden and Judas had betrayed him. He brought a group of the priests and the chief priests, and they brought some soldiers with them. And Peter, being the unstable man that he was, he went and he drew a, I don't know if it was a sword, you know, if it was a big one that he needed with two hands, or if it was a dagger, whatever it was. He used a sharp instrument and he lunged towards the servant of the high priest and he cut his ear. His name was, if you read, you know, his name was Malchus. But Jesus, you know, he looked at the situation and he saw that there was a man that was obviously out to get him, to bind him, to take him to jail, you know. Someone that we wouldn't really want to be coming towards us or coming to get us. But Jesus, he took the time and he healed that man's ear because he was a man of compassion. You know, there's individuals on our bus route that are hurting, that need healing. And the only people that will truly make a difference in their life are individuals that are moved with compassion. You know, Jesus took the time to heal someone that was wounded. Jesus took the time to help and encourage a woman that was lost in sin. John chapter 8, there's a woman taken in the act of adultery. And the Pharisees brought this woman to Jesus so that he can condemn her. You all know the story, what Jesus did. He looked at the man that brought this woman, and he stood between them. He stooped down in the ground. He wrote something on the ground. He looked at them and he said, "He that is without sin, let him cast the first stone." And one by one, they left. Then he turned to the woman and said, And she says, I'm not going to condemn you. Go and sin no more. Jesus took the time to show someone that was lost in sin some love. Jesus took the time and recognized people that are often overlooked. You know, if Jesus was on our bus routes, he would go to that rider that gets on the bus, that sits in the back and doesn't want to talk to anyone. The one that's shy, the one that's often overlooked. They're not the ones clamoring for attention. He would go and try to make a difference in their lives because he was a man of compassion. He was a man of compassionate action. He was a man of consistent action, and he was a man of proper action. And all those three implement those three in our ministry, we'll find ourselves making a difference in somebody's life. I don't know where you are in life. I don't know what your situation is. All I know is that you're here. And since you're here, and because you're here, I know that God wants you to do something for him and for his honor, for his glory, for the cause of Christ. And the only way we're going to do something is by being men and women of action. Let's make sure we take the proper action. Let's stay focused on what God called us to do. Let's make sure that we're individuals of consistent action. Whatever circumstance you find yourself in, just make it a mission to go out every single Saturday and just try to reach at least one person for the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's make sure that we're men and women of compassionate action. Let's take the time to help those that are hurting. Let's take the time to guide the wayward, to love the unlovable, and to make a difference for the Lord Jesus Christ. Our heads are down, eyes are closed. Lord, we love you. We thank you. Father, thank you for allowing me this opportunity to bring this short, but what I feel is a message that I needed in my life. Lord, I don't want to sit on the sidelines. I don't want to miss out on the opportunity that you've given me to be used in the ministry. Lord, and I thank you so much for the example you've given us. I thank you so much for the example of focus and commitment and of love that you were while you're here on earth. Father, as our heads are down, our eyes are closed, I hope that the men and women here are making decisions, Lord, to just get out and to serve, to do the right things the right way, to make sure they do it on a daily and weekly basis. And to make sure that they do it out of a heart of love. We thank you so much for the opportunity, and we ask all of this in your precious name. Amen.